This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stephenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. The rest of the week, we'll be talking to candidates for office in next Tuesday's primary elections. Tonight and tomorrow night, we'll feature the two Democrats running for 93rd District State Representative. The seat Republican Noreen Hammond holds right now. Representative Hammond is unopposed in the Republican primary for the seat, but there are two Democrats running for the seat, and one of the two candidates on the Democrat side again is Emiliano Vera, who is joining us here in studio tonight. Thanks for coming in this evening.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Will.
You're in town meeting with local Democrats tonight, so we're glad to get some time with you before you go head off to meet with them.
Absolutely. I'm going to go chat with them. Stonewall Democrats meet and greet today.
Very good. Let's talk a little bit about you first. You're from the McDonough County area and grew up in that area, right?
Yeah, so I'm from Bushnell. I started preschool in Bushnell, graduated high school in Bushnell, and so I've grown up pretty much my whole life around the area.
Talk a little bit about your background and what made you decide to work for this race. From what I was reading about you, your upbringing and the fact that your mom is working multiple jobs and still is, even though you've graduated from college, and that some of that sounds like it might have motivated you to run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I say most often at the doors and in my stories that the person who most motivated me to run was my mom and seeing my mom's story. Now, she's not a political person by any stretch of the imagination. She says that she hates politics. And I agree with her, too, because we have seen that over the past 20 years or so that we've not really had people there to stick up for us and represent us. And so politics for a lot of people means just angry people debating over things that don't really have much to do with their lives or anybody that they care about. And so when I wanted to run for this, I said, I want to be somebody that people can come out and vote for without feeling like they have to vote for the lesser of two evils.
It's interesting you say that because I tend to think that that sort of divisiveness really doesn't know any sort of political affiliation these days. It seems like one side disagrees with the other to me, and that one side will try to shove your opinion down their throat, down your throat until you see things their way. And I don't think that that really serves anybody very well.
No, and what you see actually is that drives down voter participation, that drives down voter turnout, because what we have is about maybe 20% of the population that really feels strongly about the Democratic Party. Around here, it's probably around 30% of the population that really feels strongly about the Republican Party. And then half of us, a full 50%, if not more, who are independents or just don't feel like we are represented at all in this system. And so I am running for that 50% more than anything.
This is kind of an interesting area for that, in that the last number of election cycles, and we figured this out in part because the city of Galesburg's election office is separate from the rest of Knox County. Mm-hmm. The city tends to vote Democrat. The yes. rest of the county tends to vote Republican. Yes. How do you see bringing both sides together and convincing both sides to vote for you?
Right. Well, like I said, it's not necessarily so I'm talking to everyone, mm-hmm. and I've talked to a lot of disaffected Republicans, a lot of people who are angry with what the Republican Party had done under Rauner's administration, what some of the votes that Noreen Hammond has taken as well. Remember, she had a very close primary in 2018. So I think even more than reaching out to Republican voters is trying to bring in the 50% plus of people who do not vote in this election at all. And so I think that's where the real room to grow is not saying that we're going to compromise our values in order to maybe try and bring along a couple of other people, but speak to the people who have not been spoken to at all.
I'll ask this next question a couple of different ways, and I think you'll understand why in a minute. You mentioned Representative Hammond had a close primary a couple of years ago. She ended up prevailing, ended up soundly defeating the Democrat in the race, mm-hmm. I think. How do you think you can do different?
Well, so I have the exact same message in my primary as I have in the general election. And so I was the first person to declare in this primary, even before Representative Hammond declared her reelection campaign. It was kind of ambiguous as to whether she was going to run or not. Mm-hmm. And I was the first Democrat in this race as well. And my message does not change one bit whether I'm up against Hammond in the general or my primary opponent right now. That is, I am running against the corporate political establishment that controls both parties. And that's something that has been – people have been very, very receptive to, because that is what people in my community feel, that neither party represents them well, that there needs to be a change in the status quo, that if they voted at all, they feel like they're voting for a lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. And my plan has always been, since the beginning, that – I'm not going to win if it's going to be playing the same old game that the Republicans and Democrats always play, which means try and get out as many of just your people who only vote for you as possible, and maybe try and flip a couple from the other side. I'm looking at it differently, that if my guiding light in this has been working families first, and if you show up for people, they will show up for you. And I think that's what I've been doing in this last 9 months that I've been running, is showing up for people, and they have really, really been showing up for me. And that's how we're going to win, is by getting even half of the people who don't normally vote out to vote. We would win in a landslide.
Along those same lines, your opponent in the primary, Scott Stoll, mm-hmm. From Rushville, he's been on the city council there, I think, among other things. What separates you from him? Couldn't I say some of the same things about him that I could say about you? He doesn't seem like a corporate establishment or political establishment type of guy, even though he's been an alderman and things like that.
Yeah, I would definitely dispute that. So the reality is that I was the first person in this race and have been running the longest, and it's almost unheard of that the Democratic Party will force a primary in such a deep red district as this, where we're all under common understanding that if we're going to win in the general election, we need to put all of our resources toward beating the Republican incumbent. And I was under the same impression that, out of basic decency, that we wouldn't be running a primary. I reached out to John Curtis before I even started running to make sure that he was not running, that it would be useless to force a primary first, and that if he was running again, that I would wait.
John Curtis give you any advice?
Well, I had worked on his campaign mm-hmm. in 2018, and so I learned a lot about the district, and I learned a lot about what I wanted to do differently by working on his campaign. Some of those things are things that I've already alluded to. Mm-hmm. And so then I would say that my main difference from my opponent in the primary is the fact that I'm running because the people in this district have been supportive of me. He was asked specifically by some people within the Democratic Party who did not like my independence from the party structures itself. He was specifically asked to run against me. I have been running against Noreen and against the corporate political establishment since day one. This is attempting to be an upset against a party outsider. And he was specifically asked by party insiders to run against me. And he will say that he's no one's puppet, that he has that no one controls him. But what I've been saying along is you have to look at where your money is coming from, and that will tell you exactly whose interests you're going to serve. I've had a 100% grassroots funded campaign, and he has had all of his money donated to him from either his corporate friends or the the finance wing of the Democratic Party, which is controlled by Mike Madigan. And so you can say you are not going to be anyone's puppet, but you're going to listen to who pays your bills. For me, that's the people of this district. For him, it's not.
Along those lines, that leads into my next question. Is Mike Madigan part of the problem with what's wrong with politics in Illinois?
I think there's a lot of issues in Illinois, and I think part of that is, I mean, I have experienced firsthand what happens when you try and be an independent voice. And I was not a hostile voice. I was not running to overthrow the Democratic Party or anything like that from inside. I was running as someone who said there's a lot of mistrust towards the Democratic Party in this district, and I understand completely where that comes from, and I am going to listen first to the people of this district rather than try and be controlled by the Democratic Party and owe my election to the Democratic Party. And evidently that was not a popular opinion within the Democratic Party or the leadership of the Democratic Party, because I do think that just like within the Republican Party at the base, there are a lot of good people of goodwill who want to see what is best done for the state.
If you make it to November and you're elected, though, do you think you can sort of deal with that upper echelon of the Democratic Party, if you will?
Well, the thing that I'm most excited about is that they're running the primary opponent against me that I could not have picked better for myself. I have been critical of the corporate establishment of the Democratic Party at the national level, and I've been critical of it at the state level as well. And they picked for me a corporate businessman who is completely funded and completely asked to run by the corporate interests within the Democratic Party. That's a message that I've been saying since long before I was even a candidate. So I do, I guess, appreciate the opponent that they picked for me because it fit perfectly within my message. So now the only thing that they've done is assure that when I get elected, I will not have only beaten the Republican establishment. I will have been one of the few people in Illinois who can also say that I took on the Democratic establishment and won.
We're talking with Emiliano Vera, one of the two Democrats running for State Representative Noreen Hammond's seat in the 93rd District in next week's primary. And we should say we will have Scott Stoll on this program tomorrow night at this time. Let's talk about some other issues in the few minutes we have left here. We've talked a little bit about jobs at the beginning. How do you see helping that in this area? This is kind of an area where a lot of people would love to see the manufacturing sector and more manufacturing jobs come back. I think some with more knowledge of the area think that that may not necessarily be the solution to all of the area's economic development problems, if you will. What are some of your thoughts on that?
So corporate Republicans and Democrats have been saying basically the same thing for a long time now. They say we need economic development. We need to invest in businesses and we need to get good jobs. Like, those are talking points that you can see on Scott's site, that you can see on Maureen's site. I think I'm the only one that offers a vision that is more concrete and different from that vision that has been failing us for the past 20 or so years. Because I say, rather than using public money, which we do already use public money to give to businesses, private businesses, that then put that money in their profit and then expect them and beg them to make jobs with that. It happens all the time where we'll give, the city will give a $2 million parking lot to Walmart or to Dollar General, or give a company a tax break on their property taxes for 15 years, or say that whatever income taxes that your workers would normally pay, that we're going to give it back to you as a write-off. That's the way that we've used public money to supposedly create jobs in this district for a long time. And that has only resulted in small businesses closing, in workers being paid unlivable wages by large corporations that are benefiting from basically free free public tax dollars. My proposal is, if we are going to be using public money anyways to do economic development, we should be hiring people in the only jobs that are decent in this area anymore, which are public jobs. Those are the only jobs that pay decent salaries, that have retirement benefits, that have health and insurance protections. Those are the only jobs in the area that do that. And we need to be looking seriously, if we want this area to survive, about hiring people to do the things that this area needs that the market will not provide by itself.
I'm almost out of time, so I'll get to one more issue here before I let you go. Let's talk a little bit about education. That's mm-hmm. something that it seems like both Governor Rauner and Governor Pritzker have been pretty strong about in terms of improving in the state in the last number of years. The district, the Galesburg School District here, is looking at this point, as we've reported today, to maybe look for some more state money to help expand the high school building and do some other remodeling and other things around the district. What are your thoughts on some of that? And are we doing enough in Illinois to teach our children?
Yeah, well, as an educator myself, this is something that I deeply, deeply care about. One, because, I mean, it is how I and my coworkers get paid. But also that I see what happens when schools are more than just education. They are, for a lot of kids, the only safe and secure space that they have, the only guaranteed meal that they have. When we have sudden snow days or sick days, like we've had this winter, some of the kids get back after a long weekend, and I had one kid tell me, "I'm grumpy, Mr. Vera." I said, why are you grumpy? I didn't eat anything, really. Mm. And that's the reality of this, and that's the reality that I see every day. And so what we need to be doing, first of all, is ensuring that our schools are funded fairly. So something that I have been proposing for a while now is changing our funding formula for our schools to ensure that it is dependent less on local property taxes, which crushes us in areas like this where we're experiencing population loss, and to keep the quality of the schools that we have just at a stable level, we have to raise property taxes on everybody else who is left. And that's not a sustainable way to fund our schools, and it's an unfair way to fund our schools. So I have proposed making a fair funding structure. Senator Andy Menar has been a strong voice behind this as well. Mm-hmm. And then we also have to consider education not just a waste of taxpayer money, but an investment mm-hmm. that goes not just in K-12, but also fully funding our higher education, which has gotten so expensive because we have not funded at the levels when it was affordable in the 70s and 80s, where you could go to college and work your way through it. That's not possible right now. And we have to do more than just restore the funding structure that was cut under Rauner, under his disastrous budget cuts. We have to go and fight for the level of funding that we had in the 70s and 80s when this state was thriving. Mm-hmm. And then we also have to look at universal pre-K and daycare as, once again, not just spending, but an investment. Because I've talked to people that – moms and dads who choose not to work because childcare costs more than what they would be earning at a $10 an hour job.
Give me 30 seconds and talk directly to voters one more time as to why they should consider you on Tuesday.
Yeah, so I am running as the only working class candidate in this race. I consider this a three-way race. I'm the only working class person in this race who is funded and led completely by the working people of this district. I'm the only one I think that you can trust to fight for our healthcare, to fight for fairly funding our education system, to fight for our kids, to fight for good jobs in this area, and to make sure that the wealthy are the ones who are paying up, because we are paying way too much as working people. And I'm going to be fighting for us because I'm one of you.
Emiliano Vera, one of the Democrats running for 93rd District State House in the primary on Tuesday. Thanks so much for coming in. Best of luck, and thank you for running.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I trust we'll talk to you on election night as well. Stay tuned. Again, Scott Stoll, the other Democrat running, will join us tomorrow night at 5:10. Stay tuned. We'll come back with more of Galesburg's Evening News, including Kim Komando and sports, next on WGIL.